Today on Real Radio.
Doubt and unbelief will always do that to you. You will never be able to share. You will never be able to express to others the greatness of God if you are bound by unbelief and doubt. It's not going to happen. Shake it off. Trust in His promises and tell the world what God's done in your life. You've got to do this. If you and I do not share Christ, we are doubt-filled and we are unbelieving.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. One of the ways this written series of accounts differs from the others is that it was comprised chiefly by interviews and investigations. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in Luke chapter 1, in a presentation called Preparing for the coming Messiah.
If we don't acquiesce to God's dominion and God's rule, we are insulting Him that He cannot make His promises to be kept, that He doesn't keep His word. And the Bible says the opposite, that God keeps His word, and we need to stand upon and act upon the promises of God. It says, but the angel, verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid. See, I told you people freak out when they see an angel. First words, do not be afraid. Why do you think the angel said that? It's not like he shows up, okay, I'm supposed to announce to you, don't be afraid. Anyway, next point. No, the guy was terrified. The angel says, don't be afraid. Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Your prayer is heard. Well, wait a minute, I thought they were past childbearing age. Well, they are. You know what's beautiful about this? If you dig into this and find out about the Greek construction, the word usage of your prayer is heard, it doesn't mean that John went in and started praying, or that even if Elizabeth was outside in the air, outside the temple and she was praying, it doesn't mean that. Church, are you ready to be encouraged here? It means that God remembered their prayers. Our cynical question is, well, how far back? A week? No, the word is beautiful. There's no limit to when. Oh, you know what? I love that. Because you know what? I have to tell you. There was a time when I prayed for my dad, for example. I prayed for my dad for years. He so rejected the gospel over and over again. I got to tell you, I gave up. I gave up praying. I didn't have enough faith to keep praying. I just left it alone. I didn't share with him anymore. I didn't pray for him anymore. I gave up. I got tired. It was evident to me. I don't have the faith to continue in this. And it must have been close to 20 years of praying for him. But you know what? I'll spare you the details, but in the last week of his life, he came to faith in Jesus. I had the chance to lead him to Christ on the telephone. You know what? I cannot help but believe that God remembered my prayer and the prayers of my brothers and sisters. I can't help but believe, based upon this word, verse 13, make it your own. Are you praying for your children? Don't give up, because you know what? God is still hearing your prayers from the day that you started. He remembers. No wonder Zacharias' name is encouraging. God remembers. Have you been praying for your parents? Don't stop. God remembers. Are you praying for your child's salvation? Don't stop. God remembers. Are you praying for your boss or your loved ones or your employees? Don't stop. The Bible tells us, remember when Cornelius was praying? In the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that when the angel appeared unto him, the angel made the announcement, Cornelius, your righteous deeds have come before God, and your prayers have been as a memorial, and they have arisen before the Lord. When you pray, God remembers. Not one prayer that you offer is somehow lost. The connection is not broken. The line's not dropped. It makes it to the heart of God. Don't stop praying. How can we keep doing that? Act and stand upon His promises. His promise is that He loves us. His promise is that He cares for us. The Bible says that regarding those who love the Lord, all things work together for good. Stay at it. Don't give up. Well, the Bible here says, the angel speaks, that your wife Elizabeth's going to have a baby, and his name's going to be what? John. Are you ready for this? Do you guys remember what Zacharias' name means? God remembers. Elizabeth's name means his oath. You know what John means? Grace, or the grace, or God's grace. God remembers his oath. Grace. What a wonderful message. For this is the advent of the New Testament, the fulfillment of the old. And what is the announcement? It's time now, in just the right time, in just the right way. I, the Lord, have announced, I remember, I did not forget to keep my oath. What is my oath? Grace. Zechariah 4:6 announces to us that it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. But the preceding portion of that is shouts of grace. Zechariah chapter 4. God keeps his promises. We need to act upon those promises. Verses 14 and 15 teaches us that we need to obey his word. Why? Because he's a tyrant? No. Why? Because he's hard? No. Please listen. The Bible condemns the man whom Jesus says that he was like an owner in a vineyard. And he leaves his assets to three servants. And he went away on a distant journey to return someday. And one man, he was given the investment of one. One man was given the investment of five. And the other man was given an investment of 10. And the man that had 10 and the man that had 5 went and used those things that God had given them, or this owner had given them, and they went and used it, and they doubled it. The 5 went to 10, the 10 went to 20. But the man who had just what he had, instead of investing it, what does the Bible say? That man took it and he buried it in the ground and sat on it. So that when the master returned, he says, okay, I want to see what you did with what I left you. And the man that had 5 said, look, master, I've invested it, and now I have 10. And the man that had 10, he said, look, master, I've invested it, now I have 20. And Jesus says that landowner will turn to this one who had 1 and said, what did you do with what I gave you? And he said, I know that you are a very hard man and that you are austere and you're very difficult and you demand things that are not easy. And so I was afraid. And so I took what you gave me, I buried it in the ground, and look, behold, here it is. And Jesus says that landowner will say to that man, didn't I ask you to invest it? You should have at least put it in the bank and let it gain 1.5% interest, or 2 or 10. But because you sat on it, what was given to you and you squandered it, I'm taking away from you and I'm going to give it to these guys. And the owner calls for his agents to come and remove this man and to throw him into hell. Why? God has given every one of us life. You may sit here today and you may think that you're the captain of your own ship. Well, I got news for you. It's sinking. You may pride yourself in saying, don't tell me, you pastor, you there, Mr. Person, you. I've made my own life. I fought my way up. I'm on the top of my game. I had a penny and now I'm a multimillionaire. You're going to take that to heaven, are you? God says there's a temptation to man that becomes wealthy, or somebody who thinks they are, to build bigger barns, to expand the wealth of everything. And God says, Jesus says, are you not aware that tonight your soul can be required of you by God? You see, the truth of the matter is, have you taken your life and have you just done with it what you want? Or have you taken it and invested in the realm of faith? Because in the end, God will come back and say, what did you do with my son? And you're going to say, I don't know. God gave you life, and that life was to be invested in faith and following God and serving him. It's a very serious issue. What are you doing? What am I doing for our eternal retirement? We're very serious about how we invest in this world, but what about forever? And so the challenge is given. We need to obey God because he wants what's good for us, not because he's a tyrant. He's not. Those other servants understood the goodness of their leader. It's a very serious thing. Listen to the heart of God. Look at verses 14 and 15 about obeying God's word. Listen to what he says. The angel says, and you will have joy, gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. That means he's going to be a Nazarite, found in the old scripture. Nazarene vow, Nazarite vow. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. That is an amazing thing. God's will is for you to have joy, gladness, and to be rejoicing, even in the hardships of this life, because it's a matter of the Spirit. Verses 16 and 17, the angel goes on and speaks regarding how we need to prepare ourselves. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. That means John is going to be used by God to turn many of the Jewish people to trust in the Messiah. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. It doesn't look like it on the surface, my friend, but the words here, go before him, the word him here, capital H, is a very key word, meaning that John the Baptist will go before the Lord God himself. A very, very strong verse of the deity of Christ. For what reason? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Well, this is beautiful. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we as parents are to direct our children to the Lord. The ministry of John the Baptist was to get the fathers to turn their hearts toward the children. What does that mean? Simply this, fathers, point your kids to Jesus. The father's life is going to be changed. How will that be manifested? Pointing your kids to Jesus. I love every one of you guys. Some of you I don't know, but in Christ I love you. Some of you I do know, and I love you. What's my point? As much as I love you, and as much as I love being with you, and as much as we'll go down to the beach today and eat hot dogs and sauerkraut and pizzas and chicken and whatever, we'll have a good time together. What would it profit me if God should fill this sanctuary as he has and I lose my own two children regarding the faith? What would it profit me if God used me in this life and I lost my two kids, that is, they did not come to Christ? Now, thank God they've come to Christ. But I still pray for them to continue with Christ. Every day, I have this thing. I don't know if it's a disorder or what, but I get up. My lights just turn on, 2:00 in the morning. I'll go back to sleep. I'll get up, walk around, go back to sleep. I do it again at about 4:00. It's happened all my life. I get up in the morning. I open my daughter's rooms, look in there. And you may not like this. It doesn't matter. I'm not praying to you when I did this. I open the door and I just say, Lord, just lead them in your ways. Keep them safe. Keep them all their lives. And I go in the other room, peek through, and they're there laying down there. They're laying down. They have no idea I'm there, but that's my prayer. And I've said it for 20 years and 23 years. And you see, well, it's awful repetitive, isn't it? Well, I just told you, I'm not praying to you. I'm talking to God about it. And in 2 weeks, my oldest daughter is going to be married. I can't. People are asking me, how you doing? How you doing? I'm doing fine. I will ask you this. Here's my prayer request. As I've been praying and been meditating on this stuff, how should I be? Lord, how should I be? And you know what the Lord, I believe, spoke to my heart? Jack, I want you to be just like me, the Father, on the day that my son meets the bride, the church, in the air. Look at verse 18. What do we learn from this? That we need to see God's greatness in all of it. Zechariah said to the angel, I'm sorry, this is actually kind of funny. These next few verses crack me up. Zechariah says to the angel, how shall I know this? You know what that word is? Show me a sign. Are you for real? I think Gabriel handles this very well. Watch this. Zechariah says to an angel, show me a sign. How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in age. In other words, angel, let me tell you something. You're not a human, so what I'm about to tell you is quite startling. I'm an old guy. My wife, she's old. For us to get out of bed is a big deal. Okay? For anything else to happen in bed, ain't gonna happen. Just not gonna be there. So, here is... Here is Zechariah standing in front of an angel dispatched from the throne of God, and he starts to counsel the angel. This is the epitome of unbelief. It is. Heaven is in his face. And he says, can't happen. Angel, let's get this straight. I'm the priest. I'm the man of God. I'm the man of faith. I know the word. A miracle ain't going to happen. Isn't this funny? He's the guy that everybody on the outside is waiting for this man of faith to make the offering. Well, they're pray hard, because we know he's a really godly, faith-filled guy in there, so keep praying. And he's in there going, I doubt it. We need to stop our doubting. Look at verses 19 to 20. And the angel answered and said to him, I wish we could hear it. I am Gabriel. Don't you wish you could hear that? I am Gabriel! Or, I'm Gabriel. I don't know how he said it, but it had to be awesome. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Let me remind you, Zacharias, of something. I stand in the presence of God. In what you're doing right now, you're only acting something out. I have been dispatched from the reality. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this, everyone. I've been sent by God. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. But this is scary, verse 20. Behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until these things have taken place. How come? Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Is this not powerful? All right. I actually read one commentary, and it said that the angel was being short with Zacharias. Like he's having a bad day. Okay, look, I can't take this anymore. You're going to be mute. Sheesh, okay, wow. No, I don't believe that. He came from the presence of God. He's the representative of God to God's people, and he's not believing. Church, what happens to him? Because of unbelief and doubt, what's the act that has befallen him? It's almost as though Gabriel is saying, because you won't listen to me, you're not hearing me, you will not only not hear, you will not speak starting now. And for at least 9 months, he couldn't speak, possibly even hear. So watch what happens. Because he can't, there's no witness, there's no announcement. He can't talk about the baby. He can't talk about even what he saw. Listen, church, doubt and unbelief will always do that to you. You will never be able to share. You will never be able to express to others the greatness of God if you are bound by unbelief and doubt. It's not going to happen. Shake it off, trust in his promises, and tell the world what God's done in your life. You've got to do this. If you and I do not share Christ, we are doubt-filled and we are unbelieving. The reason why we don't share Christ is because we're afraid. Why? Because we're unbelieving. Why are we unbelieving? Because we doubt what God says. It's a tragedy. Third and final point, we'll end here, verses 21 to 25. And the people waited for Zacharias. So now he comes. They're waiting. It shouldn't take this long. They're waiting. And they marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Verse 24, now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, what did she say for 5 months? Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people. It was a shame in that culture not to have a baby. It still is in the Middle East today. She's rejoicing. Church, listen. God's supply will always be enough for our lives. We just need to see it. Church, do you hear me? We're almost done. God has blessed you. Do you see it? God has blessed you. Do you thank him? I tell you, some of those people, coming out of New Orleans. It's the first time they've had Nike tennis shoes in their life. Some of the people coming out of New Orleans were homeless, and now they're being shipped to California to live in a house. That ain't a bad deal. Are good things befalling them? Yes. Are you thanking God for it? What about your life? What do you have? Well, this is what I have, but I'd really like to have that. Hey, this week's verse is thou shalt not covet, remember? Thank God for what you got. Because the truth of the matter is, my friend, God supplies the setting and God supplies the power. Watch this and we'll be done. Zacharias comes out of the temple and he motions them, no doubt with his hands. He's Jewish. He's talking with his hands. Hands are going everywhere. Can you imagine? How does he tell them? They're all looking at him. We perceive he saw a vision, but what's he talking about? We don't have a clue. Can you imagine? He's like, angel, angel. He goes through this thing. And then not only that, he goes home. He goes home. She opens the door. Not only is he trying to communicate to her what happened, can you imagine? All this stuff. How does he communicate to her based upon what the angel said? We've got to have sex right now. How is that going to happen? How is this going to happen? Can you imagine? She's thinking, you know what? Little too long at the incense. How does he communicate that? You got to just... In time, he must have got it across because they are pregnant now. And she... Listen, guys. This is an indictment against us. She somehow gets the message, I'm pregnant. You don't see her going, I doubt it. She's going, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I'm going to have a baby. And he was able to communicate to me that it's going to be a baby boy. And she probably started knitting 5 months. She's just praising the Lord. And she's knitting and all this stuff. She's getting all excited. She's pregnant with a baby. Pregnant with joy. Pregnant with glad tidings. Pregnant with excitement. In the corner, Zechariah sits with, at best, a pregnant tongue with nothing to say until 9 months is up. He's like, can you imagine? She's like, hallelujah. He wants to shout hallelujah. We'll know this next week because when the baby is delivered, he breaks forth into worship to God. It's like zip, wham, he's announcing the glories of God. She's rejoicing, she believed. He's silent, he doubted. Don't doubt God anymore. Every time you and I do, we get hurt. He wants his will done.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Preparing for the Coming Christ. It's a study taken from Luke chapter 1, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just recently wrapped up Pastor Jack's topical series called Life and the Bible. Man, if you heard any of it, you can well imagine that we've had quite the response. Well, you can still visit us at realradioactive.org and get your copy on CD or DVD. Again, it's called the Life and the Bible series. And you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.